I'm Mehdi Hassan. Welcome to a very special edition of Upfront. Special because for the first time in this age of the coronavirus, I'm recording it from my home. On today's show, we'll discuss how Brazil is handling or mishandling the crisis under its controversial president, Jair Bolsonaro. I'll speak to one of his most high-profile critics in the Brazilian Congress. But first, if official figures are to be believed, at least six people die every hour in Iran from COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus, which has ravaged the Islamic Republic and made it one of the world's epicenters for the worst pandemic of our lifetime. With more than 3,000 Iranians dead so far, how much is the Iranian government's response to the crisis to blame for that death toll? And how much is the fault of US economic sanctions? Joining me now to discuss this from Tehran is this week's headliner, Sayed Mohammad Mirandi, one of the country's most prominent political analysts and a professor at the University of Tehran. Mohammad Mirandi, thank you for joining me on Upfront.
Thank you for having me.
You live in Tehran. You've watched this crisis unfold over the last few months. How bad is the situation there right now on the ground?
The situation now is actually a lot better. It's stabilized, and the numbers do seem to be gradually decreasing. Initially, it was very difficult because the Iranians had big problems obtaining kits because of the U.S. sanctions. We had a shortage of kits, but gradually the situation has become better. Iran has a very powerful, world-class primary healthcare network that it established in the 1980s and the 1990s. And it is carrying out through that mechanism active screening, both through the phone and online. So they've been able to contain the virus despite the many difficulties that were in the path of the healthcare network. It's forbidden for people to travel outside their provinces. So I can't travel outside of Tehran. Universities are closed. All my classes are online. Of course, not during the 2 weeks of vacation, but from Saturday, again, my classes will be back online. Okay. Parks are closed, cinemas are closed, and shops over the past few weeks are all closed.
A lot of people have rightly pointed out that U.S. sanctions have exacerbated the crisis in Iran. They've prevented companies from delivering medical supplies, essential medications, equipment to deal with the crisis. Your foreign minister, Javad Zarif, has accused the U.S. of practicing, quote, medical terrorism against Iran. Is that a fair description, though, given the U.S. would say humanitarian aid has always been exempt from their sanctions on Iran?
Well, no, the United States is lying, and I think everyone knows that. And those who say otherwise, they are guilty like those who are carrying out the policies. This is a crime against humanity. And they've weaponized the coronavirus for the Iranian people by prohibiting Iran from using the banking sector, by prohibiting Iran from purchasing goods from important pharmaceutical companies. The United States has put so many conditions on different pharmaceutical companies across the world that they will not work with Iran. They don't officially ban cooperation, but they put so many restrictions and so many threats that these companies have all told Iran, we can't work with you.
What about the new Swiss humanitarian trade agreement, the SHTA, which allows Switzerland and the Swiss banking system to act as a broker for international companies that want to deliver medical supplies or agricultural commodities or basic goods to Iran? It has U.S. endorsement, approval, but the Iranians aren't using it. Why?
The Americans are good at propaganda, and the Western media, whether it's the corporate media or state media, they'll mimic what U.S. government says when it comes to foreign policy. Just a few days ago, in an editorial, the New York Times had the audacity to claim that the sanctions had no impact on the situation in Iran. That's the degree of dishonesty, whether it's the liberals
or
whether it's the Republicans.
I'm asking about the
SHTA, really doesn't make much of a difference.
Other Western governments have encouraged the Iranians to use. The Swiss are behind it, which is a neutral country. Why not use this essential humanitarian channel?
The Iranians have been using all available channels. And the Americans are trying to prevent Iran from exporting any goods. So it impoverishes the country.
But you haven't dealt with my question,
as much
which is
as
the
possible.
Iranian government has
but
not
the
cooperated
big,
with the Swiss humanitarian trade agreement, which is there on the table.
I don't know about that mechanism, and you'd have to ask the Iranian government. I'm sure the Iranians have a very legitimate response to that. But I think it's quite clear that the Europeans have failed in their obligations within the framework of the nuclear deal. The Iranians have been pushing for this. Iran is not a poor country. Iran's assets have been stolen by the United States.
Hold on that subject, Mohammed Mirandi, on the subject of Iran not being a poor country, that's a fair point. And a lot of European countries which sympathize with the Iranian predicament, a lot of people in the West who are condemning U.S. economic sanctions on Iran, they also do point out, though, that when Iran does have spare cash, when it does have millions of dollars to spend, it spends a lot of those dollars on proxy wars in Syria, in Yemen, in Lebanon, in Palestine. Why not use that money at home, they say, on your own people?
Come on, let's be serious here. The United States invaded Afghanistan from across the world. They invaded Iraq. They and their allies spent tens of billions of dollars destroying Syria, supporting extremists. You know that as well as I. You know about the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency document
of
2012. And you had an interview with General Michael Flynn, who was the head of that.
I'm not here to re-argue the Syrian war. I'm asking, why not spend that money at home when you're saying that you're being crippled by U.S. sanctions? When you do have money, you spend it on military support for the Assad regime or the Houthi rebels, or whatever it is.
You know that's nonsense. Iran spends money at home, and that's why Western countries have failed in the fight against the coronavirus, and we see the catastrophe taking place in the United States and Europe. And despite the sanctions,
Indeed.
We've done much better. And we wouldn't have
there
been in Syria.
There are catastrophes across the world, but
we,
I'm
and we would
Iran.
Not have been in Syria. We
You're
Iran,
it's nonsense that Iran
and
spends hundreds of ex- dollars.
Let me respond. Let me respond. If Iran hadn't entered Syria in 2013, the black flags would have been over Damascus as we speak right now. In Iraq, if Iran wasn't there to defend Baghdad, the city would have collapsed in the face of the same ISIS that the United States and regional countries, which you know quite well, allowed them to rise. And then we would have to fight.
Mohammed Mirandi, we've discussed these conflicts on the show many times before. I'm not here to re-argue Iraq or Syria, etc. I'm simply pointing out that, as you say, Iran is not a poor country. It does have funds, and it spends a lot of that money abroad. All I'm saying is, why not spend more of that money at home now you're in the middle of a crisis?
No, Iran does spend money at home. But if Iran hadn't prevented the fall of these countries, if Iran hadn't helped these governments and these countries and the people of Syria and Iraq to defend themselves against these extremists, we'd be fighting these extremists in Iran, and we'd have to pay a much greater price a day just to create stability in this country.
Okay.
So actually, if you want Iran to spend more money on its own people, then stop intervening in countries like Iraq. Stop intervening and destroying Libya, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, Yemen.
Okay, so let me ask you this about people in Tehran. Clearly, U.S. sanctions have made things worse. But what about the Iranian government's actual response, which many would say also made the coronavirus crisis much worse, much more deadly for your country? For example, the deputy health minister at the outset publicly opposed quarantines. He said they were ancient, medieval things. And he said that while he was coughing and sweating at a press conference. I think the very next day he was tested positive himself for COVID-19. The Iranian government refused to shut down flights between China and Iran for weeks. Because it didn't want to wreck relations with the Chinese government. Iranian officials repeatedly played down the numbers of cases in Iran, in places like Qom. You can't just blame U.S. sanctions for the situations in Iran right now. Surely there needs to be some recognition of serious government failures in Tehran, too.
Come on, Mehdi. Iran got its first kit, I think, on February the 17th. And on February the 19th, they discovered their first case. And they declared it on the very same day. And the fight began since then. If you're talking about complacency, I don't know. Do you mean the take it on the chin complacency of Boris Johnson, or it's going to magically disappear complacency of Donald Trump? But from day one, Iran was fighting the virus, and Western governments
were— I'm not here to defend Donald Trump
or
Boris Johnson.
People in the West were gloating.
But Mohammed Mirandi, the deputy health minister, refused to quarantine the city of Qom, which was the worst hit city in Iran, over a month ago, saying quarantines are a thing of the past. Ayatollah Khamenei said, we faced much graver crisis. People need to turn out for the elections. You had the president of a university in Mashhad saying, why didn't we stop the Chinese students coming in? Why not admit that the Iranian government botched part of its response to this crisis?
No, the Iranian government didn't botch the response. I'm not an advocate of the administration. But the Iranian government, as soon as it discovered what the problem was, it began to deal with it. But they didn't know the scope of the problem. It hit Iran far earlier than it hit Europe. And until very recently, the Europeans and the Americans were still debating what to do about it. The Iranians, with one hand tied behind their back, their assets stolen and frozen.
But you didn't shut down flights to China.
Being prevented from bringing in kits.
Back and forth from China. That was madness.
They did shut down. They did shut down flights from China. Actually, flights were still going to Europe after the Iranians stopped the flights. And with regards to quarantining Qom, the World Health Organization sent a team to Tehran. And the head of that team actually did an interview on international media, and they said that what Iran did was the right thing. The World Health Organization was opposed to a quarantine. They said it's not doable. And what was done in China, they said, cannot be repeated in Iran and should not be repeated. So they actually said
you told
that
the
mechanism
that
the Iranians
that you have
were using
down,
at
Siti.
That time
that doesn't make
was
any
the appropriate
sense.
One.
Mohammad Mirandi, you told me at the beginning of this interview that you now have shut down cities. You now can't go outside. You are doing classes from home. Why not do that a month ago, 6 weeks ago?
Mehdi, the situation evolved. The World Health Organization guidelines evolve and change. At that time, the World Health Organization team, which came to Iran and went to Qom and stayed in Qom with the Iranians, that was the decision that was made by the Iranians with the support of the World Health Organization. So if you want to criticize anyone, go criticize the World Health Organization.
One last question. One last question for me to you on Iran. Isn't the problem that for a long time, Iran has blamed the U.S. for a lot of things? And on issues like the sanctions, they have a good argument. Yet a lot of the Iranian people are getting fed up with that answer as a justification for all of Iran's problems. Earlier this year, Iran, for example, blamed the U.S. when the Revolutionary Guard shot down that Ukrainian civilian airliner and tried to cover it up. Now it's the coronavirus. And again, you have Ayatollah Khamenei, the supreme leader, suggesting the U.S. government might be behind the pandemic, seeming to endorse irresponsible conspiracy theories in a live address to the nation just a few days ago.
Nonsense. Mehdi, nonsense. There was no cover-up about the plane, and I think that's really disturbing that when the U.S. president threatens our country and threatens to obliterate it, he said that specifically, and threatens to strike cultural sites, the Iranian air defense was waiting for an American strike. It was tragic, but the blame lies on the Americans for threatening our country. With regards to conspiracy theories, Senator Cotton was the first person to talk about this. The Iranian leader never said that the Americans carried it out. The Chinese made a counterclaim, and the Iranians said, well, if the Americans can make the claims, then so can the Chinese. Let's hear them out.
Do you believe that the coronavirus is a chemical attacks used against Iran, as Ayatollah Khamenei seems to suggest?
No, I've never said such a thing. He never said such
why
a thing.
Ayatollah
he never
Khamenei
said. He
it,
said that
why did
he basically
the idea
said
that it might be.
Why did Senator Cotton say that the Chinese did it? Why did the Chinese government say the Americans were involved? Let's hear the evidence. That's their problem. When you go and speak of conspiracy theories that Iran was hiding this and Iran was hiding that, then the Chinese make these claims. Your claims are no more legitimate than Chinese claims simply because you live in the United States. The
you just
the
said
Chinese
you don't
have
agree
made a
with
claim.
The Chinese claim.
Let the Americans respond.
In a live address to the nation, it's a bit irresponsible to do that, no?
I don't know what was the origin of this virus, but I know that the regime in Washington has been using it as a weapon against Iranian. Don't blame the victim. That's ugly.
Mohammad Mirandi, we'll have to leave it there. I hope you stay safe and indoors. Thank you for joining me on Upfront.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.